Hello, shoppers. Good morning and welcome to the Unsecret Shopper Radio Show. My name is Johnny Wright. I am the host of this here program. Just past 8 o'clock Saturday morning, a beauty. We'll get to your weekend weather forecast in just a moment. Coming up on the radio program this morning, Don Grove will join me. He's a supervisor for investigations for the Iowa Civil Rights Commission. He and I are going to chat about what the law says about discrimination in the housing industry, and specifically a question that I posed to 8 realtors last week as part of an Unsecret Shopper review of real estate agents, and we'll talk about that in just a moment. Also, Carrie Jensen, president of the Iowa Association of Realtors for 2010, will talk about what the book says about best customer service practices for realtors. So you're kind of getting the sense of, yeah, this is kind of a real estate kind of show. That would be accurate. So if you're a realtor, a real estate agent, someone who buys, sells homes, someone who wants to buy or sell a home, and you're probably in the right place this morning. That's going to be the focus. Plus, we've got reader feedback on that Secret Shopper review. We'll get to your weather forecast for if you're a house hunter, you're a seller, you're a builder, you're a dweller, or you're just a pathetic renter like me. Today, sunshine, 88, a beauty. A little chance of thunderstorms tonight, not bad, and 69 for the low down, and then sunshine, a warmer Sunday in 92. A little bit of a chance of thunderstorms again Sunday night with a low of 75, which sounds suspiciously kind of like a high. That's kind of on the warm, toasty side, and then Monday back to work, thunderstorms in 91. It's 71 now, and indeedy, last week I chose, and I need to backtrack because I have this sense we have some new listeners in this morning, perhaps some real estate agents who have an interest in the review that I wrote last week and sort of some of the issues it brought up. This here program, the Unsecret Shopper Radio Show, the blog, the Unsecret Shopper, and my training program, which is called the Biosphere, B-U-Y-O-S-P-H-E-R-E, are all intertwined. And you can go to the blog, which is at www.theunsecretshopper.com, and read all about the biosphere and the program and the blogging and what it all means. But in short, what all of this combines to try to do is to help shoppers and help employees be happier. That's really the bottom line. There's a way that we shop, and there's a way that we serve. And those can be very different things. And it is my belief that the difference in those two can lead to a lot of unhappiness on both sides. And so all the biosphere and all the Unsecret Shopper tries to do is to try to unite those two with greater joy, greater harmony. And there are some left brain principles that sort of dovetail with that, that go along with it, that help guide it from a training standpoint. And I am a customer service trainer. I have a dozen clients in the Central Iowa area. And they hear what I'm going to tell you. I would say the word ad nauseum comes to mind. But of course, that's one of the ways that we learn. We hear it until we throw up, and then we say, ah, Bach, now I get it. So the 5 pillars of great customer service are the principles that I've developed, a program I've developed on which all of the training is developed. It's also what I look for when I go on random Secret Shopper visits, which I do once a week. And then I just pick a business. I've done Target, Walmart, I've done restaurants, I've done come and goes, all the come and goes in the area, Casey's, and again, all of those are on the blog at theunsecretshopper.com. And those Secret Shopper reviews, part of that is about the 5 pillars of great customer service. What are they? They are smile, greet, engage, thank, follow up. Sounds simple, right? You smile, you got to smile at people when you're in the retail sector. Sure, because then they smile back and then they're happy and you're happy, everybody's happy. Go in a happy place. Greeting, what should the greeting be? Open-ended question. Open-ended being, what can I do for you? How can I help you? What house can I sell you today? What dream can I make come true in your real estate thing? Yeah, those kind of questions. What you don't want to ask somebody is, can I help you? Can I help you? You know, a yes or no kind of just ends it. I mean, that's like coming to a complete hitting, skidding halt. No good. All right. So smile, greet, engage. Do you shake their hand at the beginning in a retail scenario? Sure, in real estate, you'd think that would be automatic. You reach in there, you grab their hand, you shake it nice and firm, but not crushing bones, because then, you know, that's you probably don't want to go that direction. And then you get their name. Hey, what's your name? My name is Johnny. What's yours? And you use their name throughout the conversation. Again, makes sense. None of this is rocket science. If it were, I wouldn't be here. Then there's the end of the thank you and the shaking hand again. And there's the Q&A-ing of about, hey, what's important to you as a human being? And I call it retail dating. Been on a date, you know what it's about, you make it all about the other person, right? You get into their head, you get into their world, walk in their shoes. Empathy, as Tom Franklin, the owner of Next Generation Realty, said to me on this radio program 2 months ago, what's the most important quality you look for in agents, potential real estate agents? He said one word, empathy. If you can walk in their shoes, get in their world, plug into where they're at, you're going to sell houses. Couldn't have said it better myself, Tom. Thanking at the end, shaking their hand at the end, getting their follow-up information. So, smile, greet, engage, thank, follow-up. Those are the pillars. I took a Sunday and went to 10 open houses, which is where you find real estate agents, very hardworking people, on a Sunday. They're standing in a house. They're standing in a house that is up to them to sell. It's been assigned to them because someone wanted to sell the house. They don't have a lot of control over the quality of that house. I assume there's a pecking order. Experience probably counts. A guy like Ken Whitehead, who's been doing it over 30 years, may get a nicer crib. He's probably not pimping a mobile home. I'm just guessing Ken doesn't go to mobile home parks. And I spent 18 years in one as a kid growing up, so I know all about some. Or an agent maybe with less experience may be in a less expensive house. Sure, maybe not as nice. But you work your way up through the ranks. That makes sense. There's a pecking order. Experience counts. So, 8 real estate agents, 10 companies represented. Those companies included Remax, Steve Roberts, and Torin Lilloff. And I apologize if I'm mispronouncing these. One of the reasons is because the agent necessarily didn't tell me their name right at the greeting. We talked about that, so my apologies if I'm messing anybody's name up. Next Generation Realty, Kevin Hoerkamp and Bob Wood. Coldwell Banker, Don Foster and Lisa Schoening. Iowa Realty, Sandra Estrada and Ken Whitehead. And Prudential First Realty, McKinley and Tiffany Laughlin. Those were the agents and the companies that I dealt with. 10 open houses, 5 in Des Moines, 5 in Urbandale. House prices from $120,000 up to $500,000. Yeah, big difference in the quality of home. Should there be a difference in the quality of the interaction, the customer service? Well, consider that 65 to 70% of all Americans own a home. It's a big deal. Now, the past 5 years, according to the U.S. Census Bureau, home ownership has declined marginally. I mean, it hasn't just plummeted, but you had the housing crisis and you got stuff going on. But still, it's a big deal for people to own their own house. And yet, it's the biggest investment they're ever going to make. A lot of money to shell out. You're going to be tied to that thing for 30 years or more. So the people who are selling it on the front end have to be good at what they do. They should be smilers, right? It would make sense if you're going to smile and be happy. And greetings should be open and warm and engaging and shaking hands and getting to know that buyer and knocking down all those walls that are between two people who have never met in their life. Just like a date. Just like a date. You know, in Turkey, and I've told this on this program, if you go to Turkey and you meet someone on the street, they smother. They just get on you, and they kiss your cheek, and they got their hands, and it's kinesthetic, and those endorphins are snapping. It's ridiculous. Those people can sell anything, any kind of real estate. They can sell anything. They can sell a tin can, a used one. Jerry, you're going to buy it because they're just so nice to you. That's how it is in Turkey. Now there's some other issues living in Turkey, perhaps that are counterintuitive to that. So that's all about us. It's all about connecting to us. And if just from a tally standpoint of the 8 of the 10 people that I dealt with on that Sunday that I met smiled at me. From a greeting standpoint, 4 said, come on in, or some version of that as I came in the door. 2 said, hi. 1 said, don't forget to sign in. These are greetings at the front side. That's the very first thing they said when I say greetings. 4 come on ins, 2 highs, 1 don't forget to sign in. 1, I'm sorry the signs got stolen. I put them up yesterday. 2 didn't greet because 1 was busy with another home browser, understood, and 1 was busy watching ESPN, and that's a whole other story. 1 person asked me for my name and used it in that conversation. 1 person, not the same person, asked me a personal question of engagement. Questions are important. They bring the other person in. If I ask you, how are you? I'm getting into your world. Tell me about you. Make it about you. A question is the quickest way into that person's world, right? Makes sense. Only one person asked me a question. 7 people of the 10 thanked me. Only one person shook my hand. Out of 10. Okay. There's some opportunity there. Only one person has followed up. And here's the news, people. For you agents that are listening, I am in the market for a house. I make it clear in my blog that I've been a lifelong renter. Ding, 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 ding. Wow, there's a guy that we want to get on, right? There's a guy who we want to bring into the fold of home ownership. So I would think, and I blog, man, it's out there. My phone number, address, email address is all out there. Listen, if you got a house, you want to sell it, send me some information. Connect with me because I'm, you know, I want to buy it. I've been a lifelong renter. Sure, makes sense. Some other critiques, good smilers, but not enough of them. The smiles didn't come fast and easy enough. You're happy about selling your house. That makes me happy about wanting to buy it. Get excited about your product. I get excited about buying it. That's how it works. I get a lot of people in training, employees say, yeah, customers are always just frowning, just like this. And then, you know, they'll frown to demonstrate it. And I say, you know, that's how it is. People don't always shop happy. But to wait for a customer to start the first smile, you might be waiting a while. Sure. And if it's a standoff, nobody wins that standoff. And so it's important for the person representing to get up in there and smile and give it and authentic and be happy. You have one of the most amazing jobs in the world. You get to sell a dream. You're selling a dream. It every day must be just amazing for you and beautiful and extraordinary. When you put someone in a house, into their lifelong dream, something they've saved and thought about and dreamt about since they were little kids, something they grew up in, something they connect to emotionally, more than any other product, that's an amazing thing. You're heroes. That seems to be something that's worthwhile getting excited about and happy about. And by golly, if you get excited as a buyer, I'm plugging into that joy, that enthusiasm. Speaking my name throughout the conversation, names are the one word we hear more than any other word in our entire lives. It means something. It's the one word that's unique to us. Yet I heard my name mentioned once throughout all of those conversations. Engagement, asking me questions about, hey, what do you do? What are you doing in the neighborhood? What's going on with you, huh? Hey, you look like you could put on some weight. You're kind of skinny now. I love those clothes. Look at those shoes. Mike, you know, it's fantastic. You look fabulous. Thank you for coming over. You know, whatever. What do you do for a living? All these personal engagement questions, yet only one person asked anything about me personally during those 10. There were 7 thank yous. Very strong. Follow up, shame on you, real estate agents. Only one person has followed up with me, and very strongly, by the way, with 2 different emails. Then there's the question. So we got all that. All right. That's all that trading and junk. Then there's the question that has been the incendiary question and the question that has provoked so much heated, passionate response. And we're going to get to that in greater detail coming up with a couple different interviews this morning. But the question that I posed to each real estate agent was a simple one on its face and yet incendiary. It was, are there minorities living in the neighborhood? Now, I'll be the first to say that that question implies more about the questioner than the person answering it. It is a racist question on its face. And yet, may there be some legitimate reasons for a home buyer to ask that question? Well, depends on the buyer. But whether there's a legitimate reason or not to ask that question, if someone asks it, it's legitimate to them. So what's the legitimate way to answer it if you're a real estate agent? Well, let me tell you what the responses were to that question, first of all. Again, the question I asked, are there minorities living in the neighborhood? Steve Roberts answered, quote, it's a mix. Probably not as much of a mix as other neighborhoods, but a mix, unquote. Don Foster said, quote, I think it's predominantly white. I know the school is lily white. I haven't seen any blacks, unquote. Now, Dawn says I had cotton in my ears, and she didn't say lily white. Listen, you know what? That could be, but it sounded like Lily White to me. But anyway, quote unquote. And I'll get to her response to this coming up later on as well. Sandra Estrada said, quote, I know that the neighbors there, pointing, there, and there are white. The blacks really don't start until 6th Avenue. Pause. This is a good neighborhood, unquote. McKinley said, quote, no, not there, pointing. There's a family there. They're Caucasian, pointing. There's some Africans over there, and no Mexicans around that I know of, unquote. Tiffany Laughlin said, quote, I think it's diverse. I think it's just mixed, unquote. Lisa Schoening said, quote, it's Urbandale. It's representative of the rest of Des Moines, unquote. Torin Lilloff said, quote, it would be a violation of our ethics code for me to answer that, unquote. And Ken Whitehead said, quote, according to the law, we cannot discriminate based upon race. Slight pause. What kind of minorities? I answered, blacks and Hispanics. He responded, I've sold 6 houses in this area and I've never seen any. Unquote. Okay. So how should a real estate agent answer that question? How should anyone answer that question? We're going to find out the legal answer to that next from Don Grove. He is with the Iowa Civil Rights Association. And later, we'll talk to Kerry Jensen, president of the Iowa Association of Realtors. Plus, we're going to get your reader feedback on this post. You can find the post if you go to www.theunsecretshopper.com. You can read all about it right there. You are listening to the Unsecret Shopper radio show right here on AM 1350 KRNT. You got to let your hair down if you got any to let down, because that's showing that you're enjoying what you're doing, Mr. or Mrs. Ms. Miss Businessman or Woman out there. Listening to the Unsecret Shopper radio show this fine Saturday morning on 1350 KRNT. At 8:19, my name is Johnny, and it's that name most of the day, really. Forecast today, 88 and sunshine. Beauty. We'll have a slight chance of thunderstorms tonight and Sunday night. Otherwise, it's going to get a little hot outside. And, you know, no complaints from here, because I just, every time I start complaining about the hot weather, I just think, okay, was it February where I couldn't see my Prius because of the snowdrift? Yeah, I'm sure it's a low-slung car, but for heaven's sakes. Well, appreciate you tuning in this morning, and especially appreciate you listening to the show and reading theunsecretshopper.com. That is a blog that I write on a fairly regular basis about customer service issues. And one of those issues, not an issue, but something that affects all of us, is how we're engaged out in the retail world. How people on the employee side smile, engage, greet us, shake our hand. What do they do? And it doesn't matter if they're selling, if they're at a convenience store counter, ringing up our items, or selling us $500,000 home. The way that people interact with us is important. And so you can read so much more about that at www.theunsecretshopper.com, which is also where you'll find a secret shopper review of real estate agents, 5 agencies, local Des Moines agencies, 8 real estate agents. And I need to also explain that Next Generation Realty is a bit different in that they will give their, and maybe other agencies do this too, but they will allow the homeowner, and allow is a strong word, they probably save money by doing it themselves. In other words, Next Gen, it looks like, will put up the signage and do a lot of the aforementioned stuff, the ancillary things around the edges, but when it comes to actually showing the house, they empower the homeowner to do that. Now, other agencies may ask the homeowner if they want to do that. I don't know. I haven't talked to them, but in Next Gen's case, I met 2 homeowners when I went to their open house a few Sundays back. And anyway, we're going to talk more about that. We'll get to that in a moment. But the question this morning is, how should a real estate agent answer the question, are there minorities living in the neighborhood? What's the legal answer to that particular question? Well, Don Grove would know. He is a supervisor for investigations with the Iowa Civil Rights Association, and he joins me this morning. Good morning, Don.
Good morning.
Don, let's cut to the chase. Let me ask you first, is it illegal for to your knowledge and what your understanding of the law is, for a real estate agent in Iowa to answer the question posed by a potential buyer, the question being, are there minorities living in this neighborhood?
Before I answer that question, though, let me tell you a little bit about the law, about the law and what the law says you can't do. The law is the Iowa Civil Rights Act of 1965 and the Federal Fair Housing Act. These laws are anti-discrimination laws. These laws prohibit discrimination in housing based on a number of different personal characteristics, such as race, national origin, disability, religion, familial status, sexual orientation. Now, these laws tell real estate agents, brokers, managers, owners, housing providers, you can't make rental decisions, you can't make sales decisions based on any of those characteristics. You can't refuse to rent, you can't refuse to sell, you can't offer different terms and conditions of rent or sale to persons because of one of those characteristics. You can't treat people differently because of race, national origin, religion, disability, familial status, sexual orientation. Those laws also say, though, you can't steer. Now, steering is directing someone to somewhere else, to another building, another neighborhood, another property, because of one of those characteristics. Steering is a violation of those fair housing laws. Now, let me give you an example. As an agent or an apartment manager, if you try to push me, persuade me, influence me, direct me to another unit, another building, another property, another neighborhood, and you're doing that because of race or national origin, that's steering, that's illegal. If you try to direct me to a different building or a different floor in a building, and it's because I have kids, minor children in my household, that's steering based on familial status. That's illegal, too. That would be a violation of the state and federal fair housing law. Now, let me say one more thing about steering now. I need to say why steering is illegal. People have a right to live where they want to live, and the state and federal fair housing laws recognize, grant that right. Nobody should live, no, where you live should not depend on any of those characteristics, what your race is, what your national origin is, what your disability familial status is. Those characteristics should not determine where you live. Over the years in this country, steering, I believe, has contributed, most people believe, steering has contributed to isolated, segregated neighborhoods. Now, let me just nail this home. Let me just say one more thing. As an agent or a manager, if you tell me, for example, this neighborhood is not for me because it's changing, it's in transition, or it's becoming more black or more Hispanic, you're directing me away from that neighborhood because of race or national origin. Again, that's steering. That's illegal. If you tell me that, and in this example, let's say I'm a couple without children. If you tell me that you put all your families with children on the first floor, or if you tell me that I would like another of your buildings better because it's an all-adult building, again, that's steering, and again, that's based on familial status.
Okay. All right. So, I think it's understood and clear, fairly crystal clear even, that you cannot manipulate or move someone away from a place because of the color of their skin, because of their family makeup, because of even their sexual orientation as well, yes?
Yes.
Okay. All right. In this instance, it's a little different. It's a prospective buyer who is asking the question of race, or actually not even asking race. The question I posed during my secret shopper visits was, are there minorities living in this neighborhood? And I left it at that point. Is it then, for the real estate agent, are they then entering what would be considered somewhat of a gray area by answering that question, or are they not?
Yeah, let me tell you, here's what I would do if I were an agent, if I were a housing provider. First of all, I didn't bring it up. I didn't bring up race. I didn't bring up national origin. I didn't bring up family status. I didn't bring up disability. I did not describe the property, the unit, the building, the neighborhood by describing the people that live there, the characteristics of the people that live there. I did not do that, and that's good. So So you never want to bring that stuff up.
Sure.
Now, if you're asked the question, though, I think the answer ought to be, I don't know. Because as an agent or as a property manager, housing provider, you really don't know, do you? I mean, you don't ask your tenants, you don't ask the other people in the neighborhood how you identify yourself mm-hmm. by race or national origin. So you really don't know the answer anyway. Just tell the person, I don't know. And if that prospective tenant or buyer pushes the issue or insists on number stats, you know, percentages, just refer them to the U.S. Census. Refer them to the Internet. Have them access that info on the Internet or contact a city or county official who works with those numbers. So first, don't bring it up.
Sure.
And second, if it's asked, you don't know the answer, just say, I don't know. I mean, because as a real estate agent, manager, I mean, you don't ask the people anyway, so your information can't be accurate. So
sure.
Just refer them to other places to get the kind of demographic stats that they need.
And here's the thing I want to establish, too. That the fact that I asked that question, or that anyone would ask it, probably says a lot more about the person asking it than it does the person who is being asked to answer it.
Yeah, that's a good point. And something else I want to say, too, because once you try to answer that question based on what you think you know, you're going to open up a can of worms because you're not sure why the person's really asking the question. You may have misunderstood the person's intentions.
Right.
I mean, they may have asked the question and you're thinking, oh, they're interested in an integrated neighborhood. I'm going to talk about all the diversity in my building, my neighborhood.
Sure.
But that may not be their reason at all.
Right.
So then you start talking race and national origin. You start talking about the families with kids there. And all of a sudden, that can be interpreted later then as you, in some way, trying to discourage the person from living there.
Right. Right. Or again, and again, you know, I believe one agent asked me what I meant by minority. And I expressed it to that agent, and then that conversation went forward. But I don't want to get into necessarily the specifics, but I can say, and the other thing is, I wasn't trying to trap anyone, even though it has actually every appearance that's exactly what I was doing. What I was trying to do is to see how people would handle what I consider a really Archie Bunker 19th century knuckle dragging kind of question, and I suspect. That question gets asked more in larger cities that are more racially divided and more of a melting pot than Des Moines, Iowa. And maybe that isn't the case, but my suspicion is that question still probably gets asked somewhere. And of course, you can't speak to that. But so for an agent who would try to answer it, as some of the agents did, we would say that's probably not a good road to go down.
No, because I don't see any benefit. I mean, I don't see it's a scary road. It's a can of worms, really, when you try to answer. Well, whenever you try to answer a question and you don't really know what you're talking about, that's bad. But in a case like this, when you talk about what you think you know, I mean, it could be misinterpreted. You could be misunderstood. And
if an agent then described where they took what that question and said, well, there's blacks living there and there, and there's a black living there, but there are no Mexicans living in the neighborhood, then not only are they pointing out what they think I'm trying, what my question was, the basis for it, but they're also making a judgment then, trying to assume that I would judge that neighborhood if there were Hispanics or blacks or whatever. And that seems to even be, now we've seemed to have left the area of probably a bad idea to really a really bad idea. Accurate statement?
Yeah, I think so, if I understood you correctly. I mean, my point here is you don't try to answer if you don't really, really know. And even if you really, really know, it's not a good idea to answer because you don't know how the person's going to take your answer. Is the person going to take it as, I'm discouraging you from renting in this particular area because of race or national origin? Am I encouraging you to rent there because of that? I mean, either way, you're still steering, aren't you?
Right. Yeah, you are. You're absolutely right. You're trying to get inside the head of the person, interpret it, and then steer them.
Now, what you need to do is you need to talk about your property. You need to be proud of your property, proud of the house, proud of the unit, the neighborhood. You need to talk about the amenities of those places, you know, how big the bedrooms are, that you have a walk-in closet, how the neighborhood is good, there's lots of conveniences, it's on the bus line. You don't need to talk about the demographics.
Don Grove, I think, just sold me a house right there. Don Grove, he's the supervisor of investigations for the Iowa Civil Rights Association, joined us this morning. Thank you, Don, so much. It's 8:32 coming up on the radio program. We'll get to reader feedback on the Secret Shopper Review of Real Estate Agencies. And a little bit later on, you'll hear from Kerry Jensen, president of the Iowa Association of Realtors, about what are realtors taught? How are they supposed to do all that engagement smiley stuff? We'll talk to her and get your reader feedback next. You are listening to the Unsecret Shopper Radio Show on 1350
Toy Store. Expect more.
Pet store, shoe store, music store.
Toy Store, Pet Store, Shoe Store, Music Store.
Toy Store, Pet Store, Shoe Store, Music Store blog.
This is the Unsecret Shopper Radio Show on 1350 KRNC. No matter where you're shopping or where you happen to be serving those that shop. And it's all, you know, we all do both, really. We all move between employee and shopper. And when we're an employee and we're working, if we're working in a retail setting, but most of us have some contact with the public, either on the phone or in person on some level, whether it's a bill-paying kiosk, a bank, a place that sells bobbleheads, which they're sprouting up everywhere. They're just growing like crazy. We do that, and then we buy from those places. So we spend our entire lives somewhere between the line of buyer and a seller. Boom, 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 boom. Real estate agents happen to be the most prolific, I think, of all of those. Although people do sell more expensive things. They sell nuclear bombs. They're getting very pricey. You know, that whole market, really, it's tough to get in. But once you're in, listen, you're never leaving. So, you know, from no matter what you're selling or where you're buying, the whole idea of the Unsecret Shopper is just to make it all a little more enjoyable for all of us. And that's part of the training program that I do with the Biosphere. And you can read about all that stuff at www.theunsecretshopper.com. Before I get to reader feedback on last week's secret shopping trip through a number of, and I do want to say that the open houses were magnificent. All of the homes were very nice, had been looked nice, and many of them smelled nice, had the potpourri going and music playing, and that kinesthetic thing is such a big deal. I talk to my clients about it all the time. It's imbue the environment with sound and the sense of feel and touch and smell and all the five senses, and give potential shoppers that wonderful overall experience, make them feel like they're being immersed in what it is that we're trying to create for them or sell to them or whatever, however we want them to feel. And I have to say the agents did an extraordinary job of that and should be thanked for it. And it cannot be easy going into a place and standing there and having it make sure it's clean and things are all boarded up nice and looking pretty so when people come through, it looks good. So real estate agents in many ways have a very thankless job. And so to commend all of them who did such a nice job. We'll get to some reader feedback in just a moment. I want to just touch on something very interesting, and I'm part flattered and part flabbergasted at this. And a client of mine pointed out a print ad that they had received in the mail advertising a specific company. And on this print ad, I'm just going to read from. I'm not going to tell you who this business owner is or what it is. But on this print ad that was received in the mail, it says, rated number one in customer service by the Unsecret Shopper Radio Show, 1350 KRNT. Okay, so this client of mine called me. He is a client of mine. I do customer service training with this particular client and so forth. And said, well, I got this in the mail. What's up with this here, Johnny boy? And I said, well, I don't know. First of all, I've never said anybody is number one at anything because they're not. And I've been a writer in the advertising industry for over 25 years. I've written over 30,000 scripts for radio and TV, print conservatively. And I can tell you that anybody who writes that they're number one at anything is full of poop. All right? The minute any company claims that position, that lofty position, for whatever, name the category, number one in the size of the burgers, number one in customer service, number one in location, the minute they do that and state claim to it, they have immediately plummeted themselves to number two, no matter where they were, or maybe at the bottom of the barrel. The fact is that number one doesn't exist. It doesn't. And any company that thinks it's number one is going to be losing traction very quickly. I made that point actually to all of my clients last week when I got word of this. What's equally ironic is that the company that is claiming that I said this is a company that I blasted in a secret shopper review several weeks ago, using terms like filthy and horrific to describe both the cleanliness of its establishments and the level of customer service. So this is a lie. If you get anything in the mail, and if you ever get anything in the mail, and we may not be getting mail for much longer, but anyway, okay. But if you get anything that says, I said something about something, yeah, you just need to if it's a market, just take it and do this with it. Yeah. Well, that feels good. Because it's just, it's a bunch of nin-cow poop, as you say to the cows as you pass them on the highway. Let's get to reader responses to the Secret Shopper Review of Real Estate Agents from last week. Rob Spearman wrote a very nice response. He's the founder and owner of REMAX Real Estate Concepts. He said, quote, Johnny, love the idea of secret shopping the open houses. Thank you for doing that, and I enjoyed the blog. It is a good reminder for realtors of what they need to do at an open house. We will be sharing your results with our agents. Chris wrote, I think it's funny how you gave the highest rating to the person who clearly gave the most racist answer to the minority question. The blacks really don't start until 6th Avenue. Really? She said that, and you still gave her 3 masks. Obviously, there were some customer service issues here, but I think the main focus should be on any matters involving ethics. And the masks reference is how I rate. I don't mean how I rate as I rate is one word. How I, the next word, rate each of the businesses that I secret shop. I give them from 1 to 5 masks, depending upon the quality, the overall quality of the customer service. And just to respond to that, what I attempted to do was not allow that response that the agents gave to dictate what I was looking for from a customer service aspect. I tried to keep my focus on, did they smile, greet, thank, engage, and follow up? I really tried to hone in on that because I knew that the response to race, that question, the minority question, was going to be inflammatory. It was going to ignite passions in all of us. When you talk about race, you talk about it on any level, just people are very passionate about it. I didn't want that to cloud the overall review because that really, to me, was missing the whole point if we went down that road. So that would be the reason why I sort of stepped away from it. Amy Smith said, Johnny, thank you for your interest in the real estate industry. In Des Moines, realtors are required to understand fair housing laws. However, your findings may indicate that there are still opportunities for improvement. We continue to make these top priorities among our nearly 7,000 realtor members. That's Amy Smith, PR coordinator, Iowa Association of Realtors. Tiffany Laughlin, who was one of those reviewed in the Secret Shopper Review, said, I'm writing a response to the blog. I'll start by saying that the whole portrayal of me in this blog is inflamed and exaggerated. In fact, Mr. Wright's blog bordered on defamation, given that it leaves out important details of conversations and unfairly portrays parts of conversations out of context. And Tiffany then goes on to explain her response. Tiffany, I had a conversation on the phone last night, and she was originally scheduled to be interviewed on this radio program this morning and had to get permission and apparently didn't get that permission as I didn't hear back from her, which is totally okay. You can read her response if you go to theunsecretshopper.com, and it's quite lengthy, and she makes some good points, one of which is this. Real estate agents are extremely vulnerable. They typically are at houses by themselves. They are showing them by themselves, and they don't know nobody coming through the door. And those peoples who come through the door can mean them harm and have meant them harm. It is a dangerous profession. I think that is understated. In fact, most people, I certainly didn't think about it until Tiffany pointed that out, and so I appreciate her doing that. Don Foster, one of the people who was quoted in the Secret Shopper Review. Johnny, thank you for all the positive comments you made about me, even though you misquoted me about the Lily White School, as the phrase isn't even in my vocabulary. All right, well, I apologize. I may have misunderstood you there, Don. I'm taking the comments about me being bright, engaging, and vivacious as a compliment. I'm glad that you like the kitchen as well. I'm hoping to sit down. Now listen to this. I'm hoping to sit down with you and get that offer written up. And Johnny, have a blessed day. She's trying to sell. I love that. Listen, don't stop selling. You got to sell a house. Sure, I'm a lifelong renter. Coming up, we'll talk to the president of the Iowa Association of Realtors about what realtors are expected to do, what they're trained to do, and a little bit more about the question of minorities. All of that is next. You're listening to the Unsecret Shopper Radio Show on 1350 KRNC.
You better take care of business, Mr. Business.
Take care of your business this morning if you're running a business, working for a business, or just, doing your business. It's the Unsecret Shopper Radio Show. You're listening to it, 1350 KRNT. 8:45 now with Johnny. Thank you for listening this morning. Carrie Jensen is the president of the Iowa Association of Realtors. And if anyone would know how realtors are supposed to behave at a house, it's going to be Carrie. She joins us this morning. Good morning, Carrie.
Good morning.
Carrie, were you one of those kids that loved to play Monopoly, or were you always, what was land and houses? Was that like a big thing for you, as big as it could be for any kid when you were growing up?
No, I never actually aspired to be a realtor as a child. I wanted to be a park ranger, but it was something that I became interested in after we purchased our first home.
Very good. So you went from a park. Well, I guess that's sort of the land and overseeing it and the expansiveness. And then when you bought your first home, you said it sort of went, that really whetted your appetite to be a realtor.
It did. I enjoyed being able to go out and look at homes when we were making the rounds with our own realtor. And I thought about it for several years until I made the decision to attend a real estate class and get my license.
Carrie, where did you grow up?
In the Council Bluffs area, outside of Council Bluffs.
Very good. So you got the bug and you started thinking about real estate and thinking about the pleasures that would come with it of selling it. Was it the money that attracted you? Was it the idea of putting people into their dream? What was it?
Probably the number one factor was that I had three children at home and the flexibility was very appealing to me, and it's worked out very well.
So how long have you been a realtor?
15 years.
Was there, and I want to speak from personal experience, my mother, back in the late 70s, I remember we were moving from Cambridge to Des Moines, and she had a realtor, God bless him, he was with her over a year as she looked for a house and finally found one on 42nd Street where we moved, I moved briefly, but do you have those particular buyers who just, you cannot seem to find the house that is right for them?
I'm sure all realtors do. Hopefully we don't have too many like that. But there are definitely clients that are looking for something unusual or unique that may take them some time to locate that type of property that will meet their needs.
Is the stumbling block usually money? Is it usually features? Is it usually location? What's the number one preventative?
I would have to say it would be a combination probably of location and features. It's kind of a perfect match. A lot of are willing to forego some of their requirements, but not everything.
Carrie, this show is all about customer service. It's what we talk about here on the Unsecret Shopper Radio Show. And in fact, one of my early blog posts, I wrote about the power I felt that the real estate industry had, and particularly real estate agents have, how important it is to follow, to subscribe to what I call the five pillars of great customer service, which are smile, greet, engage, thank, and follow up. When you look for realtors or as a realtor, what is the most important component of being a good one?
I would say you have to have the ability to build rapport with people. It's definitely a short engagement the first time you meet someone. So if you don't build rapport with them or trust with them from the very beginning, it's not likely that they're going to become a customer of yours unless they've been referred to you by someone else that knows you well.
Is that an innate talent? Is it a skill that you can teach? What do you see?
Well, for some realtors, it is a talent, and it's something that they come by naturally. Others, it is something that we offer training on. We have customer service continuing education. And in a lot of cases, it's something they learn by following the example of other successful realtors.
One thing that Tom Franklin told me, Tom Franklin, the president of one of your competitors, Next Generation Realty, in an interview, he said that the number one quality he looks for is empathy. Would you concur with that?
Definitely. It is a necessary characteristic in people in this industry. And I don't know that that's something that you can acquire, but if you have it naturally, it certainly makes you an attractive recruit for brokers.
Let's talk about that skill set, whether it's a talent or a skill or whatever it is, for agents who are going into the real estate world. What resources do you have with the Iowa Association of Realtors or the individual agencies have? What resources do you have to teach people to acknowledge those particular right brain customer service skills, to hone them?
Well, each licensee in the state of Iowa has to attend 36 hours of continuing education every 3 years. Out of those 36 hours, 8 of those has to be a law update, and 4 hours of that has to be ethics training. So every 3 years, we go through ethics training again. And that keeps ethics and honesty foremost in real estate agents' minds. It's definitely an important part of our everyday business. In addition to that, the State Association and other real estate schools throughout the state offer a variety of classes for marketing, for contact database building, and ways that increase agents' ability to market, draw in prospects for properties, and financial planning even.
My guest this morning is Carrie Jensen. She is the Iowa Association of Realtors president for 2010. And Carrie, what can, let's say, somebody like me who has very little experience shopping for a home, I've pretty much been a lifelong chronic renter most of my life. And I know after this interview, I know that you and I need to talk because you got to get me into a house, right?
It's definitely an investment that people are making in their future.
Well,
As things trend upward right now, people are still getting good buys and investing in their future. It's a good place to spend your money.
Well, let's talk about, let's say some schlep like me is going to shop for a house maybe for the first or second time. And from a customer service aspect, or just from an experience aspect, what should I expect when I say go to an open house? Let's say that one of the real estate companies is having and someone is hosting it, an agent is hosting it. What should I expect from the level of customer service when I walk in the door?
You should expect to be greeted with a smile, for them to welcome you to the open house, for them to offer you the information on the property that's open at that time, answer any questions that you may have about the property. Personally, I like to back away and let the people tour the property themselves, follow up with them at the end of their own tour, and address any questions they might have. And at that point, we'll try and talk about maybe what they're looking for, what their housing needs are, and any feedback they might have about that particular home.
Well, one of the precipitants of this interview is that I did a secret shopper review of 5 real estate companies in Des Moines, and that I randomly select companies. And I don't know if you're familiar with the blog and Carrie, but that's not important. But I randomly select businesses or business categories each week, and I randomly secret shop them. And the category and the companies this week were real estate agents. And a couple of weeks ago, I went to, I believe it was, yes, 10 open houses on one Sunday. And, of course, you know, being able to get to 10 of them was quite a feat. And you really have to coordinate that quite well regionally. But some of the things that I saw and I want to talk about a little bit here, and I realize you weren't there and you don't know, but so smiling, and these are my 5 pillars of customer service. I should expect to be smiled by the agent, and these are fundamental things, so it's hard to disagree with these, I understand, but the agent should smile, they should greet me at the door, they should have asked me, I assume, for my name and given their own and maybe shaken my hand and asked me questions about what I was looking for. Is that all safe so far?
Absolutely.
And then agents should have, now you talked about wanting to step back and let the person walk through the house. And I'll say that probably happened about half the time. Some agents did walk with me and some did not. And my perspective of that is in the blog post that I wrote. Then at the end, expect a thank you, a shake of the hand, maybe mentioning the name again, and then getting follow-up information to be able to contact the person. Is that accurate?
Ideally, yes. So most of the time, agents will do an open house in order to meet people from the public that are potential buyers. In addition to that, they market the property that they have listed for sale. Ideally, you want to make contact with the person that's there viewing the property. It doesn't always happen. Sometimes you have buyers that maybe don't want to give out their contact information for personal reasons, or they might be working with another agent, so they don't want you to contact them.
Are the agents trained to request that contact information during the open house at some point to actually verbally ask for it?
Sometimes there's a sign-in list, and sometimes they have an actual conversation. I found that depending on the client that's in the house, one sometimes works better than the other. Sometimes people are reluctant to sign in on something. They feel like they're maybe registering, and they're a little uneasy with that. But they're perfectly content to shake your hand and tell you what their name is.
So it varies
from person to person.
Are all of these components that we're talking about, these customer service elements, are they specifically trained on, as much as you can speak to this, by individual real estate companies or by the Iowa Association of Realtors?
Within my own office, they definitely are. I'm sure that level of training varies from broker to broker. Some market areas, they don't even do open houses, so I don't know that they would receive any training on that.
One of the questions that I asked specifically, I wanted to see what response I would get, is while I was on that tour and I was posing, of course, as a home buyer, I asked each agent, are there minorities living in the neighborhood? And the responses I got were varied. Does the Iowa Association of Realtors or do the individual real estate agencies, do they train on how to answer that particular question?
Not that particular question, but in regard to compliance with fair housing laws, definitely. That's not a question probably most real estate agents could answer with an informed knowledge anyway. In that case, we would want to be the source of the source and direct you to demographic information that might be public information.
So what I'm hearing is if for an agent to specifically say, and not necessarily ask, what do you mean by minority, but to specifically start pointing out to boom, boom, or they're there, or to make specific references to who may or may not be living in the neighborhood from a minority makeup, That probably wouldn't necessarily be a direction that you would want those agents to go. Is that an accurate statement?
If I were a broker myself, it's not something that I would suggest to my agents that they do. In most cases, they aren't going to have that knowledge, that information anyway.
Sure. Well, we're talking a lot about that, a bit about it this morning, and from a legal standpoint, there is no barrier, or because you talked a great deal about ethics and law and learning that. Is there any law or statute that says that real estate agents have to answer that particular question or a question like it in a specific way, or that they cannot answer it?
No, I honestly don't know if there's a specific law that states whether or not they could answer that exact question. I would have to refer you to the State Association Legal Counsel. There are protected classes. There are laws in place directing us not to steer people to particular areas, to give any suggestion that there might be an ethnic population in a certain area. That's just not our business. Our business is to market and sell the property and to find qualified buyers for property.
Carrie Jensen, President of the Iowa Association of Realtors. Thank you so much for joining us this morning. If you have any more questions or interested more in the blog or the issues brought up in it or some of the reader responses to all of it, strongly encourage you to go to www.theunsecretshopper.com. There's a lot more about all of this there, including more responses from Carrie and people who were involved in some of these secret shopper reviews. I think the thing I enjoy about this more than anything, as all these secret shopper reviews do, is it gets people talking. It gets us all thinking about something that we often do sort of automatically, and maybe without a great deal of enthusiasm, and that is to smile and greet and engage and thank and because that's how we were born. I mean, we came. I was smiling when I came out. I don't know about you, but I was sure. I got pictures of me. I look like I got a big old grin on my face when I come flying out of the, you know, mom and all that goop. So remember to smile. Remember to be engaging. Remember what we, don't forget what you learned right out of the poop chute.